Hello, and welcome back to another edition of the APC Podcast here live from Indianapolis. It is Evan Tex Western of Acme Packing Company coming to you from the third day of the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. First day of workouts, so we finally got to see some of the players on the field. Offensive linemen, running backs both did all their drills, all their on-field testing, 40s, verticals, so on and so forth. In the media room, we got quarterbacks, wide receivers, and tight ends. So we've got a few interesting nuggets from tight ends and wide receivers specifically. Obviously, with the Packers having Aaron Rodgers in place, quarterback was not exactly a priority of mine today. So we'll focus on the receiving options. And then just a quick preview of guys to watch in the coming days over the weekend as we start shifting our focus a little bit towards the defense. So we'll start with the workouts. At the running back position, Saquon Barkley, who is pretty much a consensus top five pick at this point, only cemented that status. I think of any player, he probably had the most hype coming into this combine, and he has not only lived up to that hype, he's pretty much exceeded it. He put up a stellar 29 reps on the bench yesterday, but then he went out today and he ran his 40-yard dash in 4.40 seconds, a 4.4 flat at 6 foot and 233 pounds. Not only that, but then he went and he jumped 41 inches in the vertical, which led all of the running backs today. There were a couple other players who got to 40, but Barkley was the only one to exceed that 40-inch mark. So just a stellar day on the field for Barkley, looking smooth in position drills, as expected. And he really, I think, solidified himself as a top five pick. So that he's definitely one of the big winners. You could also throw maybe Nick Chubb from Georgia in there as well. He matched Barkley with 29 reps on the bench yesterday. He ran a solid 4.52 in the 40 and had pretty good explosiveness numbers, 38.5-inch vertical, 10'8" broad jump. And his agility numbers weren't bad. They weren't magnificent, 7.09 in the 3-cone. A lot of times you like to see those guys, especially at the skill positions, run that under 7 seconds. But that's not a bad time by any means. A couple of surprises, though, in the workouts at the running back position. One of them, really, for me, was Bo Scarborough, the big running back from Alabama. He was a very physical runner for the Crimson Tide. Didn't really anticipate him to show out in the athletic drills, but he had a very good performance. He measured in 6'1", 228, big hands, 10-inch hands. And then he went out and he ran a very impressive 40, 4.52, so that's very solid. Very good jumping numbers as well. 40-inch in the vertical, he was one of those guys, as well as a 10'9" broad jump. I believe that was actually the longest broad jump of any player at the running back position today. Yeah, he beat out Nick Chubb by 1 inch. So Scarborough is that's going to make me go back and look at him a little bit differently, because the type of athleticism he displayed, I didn't necessarily get the impression that he was going to put up a workout like he did today based on his tape. So I wonder if that'll just make people go back and look at him a little bit closer, look at the games he put up for Alabama. As far as the offensive line goes, early on, all the talk was about Orlando Brown from Oklahoma. He's considered one of the top tackle prospects in this draft class, and he had about as disappointing a day as Barkley had an impressive day. Started it off with a poor 14 reps on the bench press, and then he went out today, and his official 40 time was 5.85. That's one of the probably 10 or 15 worst 40 times we've seen of any player at the combine in the last several years. He also was extremely unimpressive in the jumping drills. He only had a 19.5-inch vertical. Pretty much every other offensive lineman had at least 23.5 inches, and his broad jump was 6'10", and that was a full foot shorter than any of the other offensive linemen. Not only that, but in the offensive line drills, he was getting yelled at by coaches for appearing to dog it and not running out drills. So just an all-around bad day for Orlando Brown, and I can't help wondering if that'll knock him firmly out of the first-round conversation, especially, again, with the way he was getting yelled at during the drills as well. One guy who definitely made himself some money, I think, today is Colton Miller from UCLA. He's a big tackle, 6'8" and 5'8", 309 pounds, big dude. Really running, he looks more like a tight end just based on his build than an offensive tackle, so he can definitely put some weight on. But he set an offensive lineman record in the combine with a 10-foot, 1-inch broad jump. That's just simply absurd for a player who's 6'8" and 310 pounds. Granted, he's probably got some pretty long legs at that height, but very impressive. Also impressive was his 40. He ran that 40 in 4.91 and his second attempt unofficially turned out to be a 4.95 as his final time. So, yeah, Colton Miller really did a great job, and he also had an impressive time in the three-cone drill, 7.34. So keep an eye on him to see if that might bump him up some draft boards a little bit. Another guy who had a great day on the offensive line is Brian O'Neill from Pitt, 6'7", 297. He had the best time of any of the offensive linemen in the 40. He ran that in 4.82 and then had the best three-cone time with 7.14. So by comparison, his three-cone time was better than a handful of running backs and was only just a little bit worse than even Nick Chubb's at 7.09, just 0.05 of a second slower. So, yeah, Brian O'Neill, clearly a very athletic tackle prospect, so he's a guy to keep an eye on. As we move on to interviews, there's a number of players who stood out as far as the tight ends and the wide receivers to me. Obviously, we'll start with the tight ends, but obviously there's a major need there for the Packers. And Dallas Goedert from South Dakota State is one of those players who has been looked at as a top option at the position. He's a very confident guy. He speaks a mile a minute, so I pity whoever had to transcribe that interview. But very confident guy. The one comment that kind of stood out to me from him is when being asked about being a late bloomer physically, because he came in as a small guy into college and didn't really have a lot of scholarship offers. His comment was that, any coach who's lucky enough to work with me will be able to mold me however he sees fit. And that I'm not sure if that was just a weird turn of phrase that he had. I'm not sure if he was trying to say, you know, I'd be lucky enough to work with any coach and they would be able to work with me, but it was phrased very interestingly. One other note on Goddard, he is a Packers fan. Got into the Packers when he was younger with his stepdad being a big Packers fan and passed that down to him. And he joked that he would be perfectly happy to help the team rebuild the position if they drafted him at 13. 13 or 14 where they actually are picking. But yeah, certainly sounds like Goddard's a confident guy. He thinks that he can be an all-around solid tight end, blocking, receiving. Certainly has more established skills in the receiving department, but we'll see where that ends up with him potentially being one of the first tight ends taken off the board. Another guy that is of interest to Packers fans is Troy Fumagalli, the Wisconsin tight end. He confirmed that he did have a meeting with the Packers tight end coach, Brian Angelicchio, so that's something to keep in mind. I mentioned a couple other tight end coaches that he talked to, but that's definitely one of them that he had. He also said that he would love to stay in Wisconsin. He would love to get picked by the Packers and work under Mike McCarthy and company and work with Aaron Rodgers, so that'll be something to keep an eye on. Fumagalli, we'll see how he tests tomorrow. Don't expect a blistering 40 time from him. So if he runs a little slower than you might think, I don't think that's necessarily something to get worked up about just because that's not his game. He made a lot of his separation with route running, and he also made a lot of close contested catches, and so that'll probably be more of a selling point for him. Hopefully he can do well in some of the agility drills, and that'll be able to help his stock a little bit. Another couple of interesting guys, Hayden Hurst of South Carolina. He'll be 25 when the season starts, so certainly is an older prospect that would make you think that he'd be behind the eight ball a little bit, but he's not really worried about that because he spent 2 years playing baseball in the Pittsburgh Pirates farm system, and then he got back into college football after deciding that baseball wasn't going to work out for him. So the way he's spinning his age is that he hasn't taken a lot of hits. He's got a lot of tread left on his tires. Because he only played 1 year of high school football in addition to, you know, 2 years and change of football at South Carolina. So that's the way he's kind of spinning that. But he's been praised as probably the best blocking tight end in this class, and he might be going off the board in as early as the second round, but probably somewhere within the top 100 picks. So he's another name to keep an eye on. And then finally, Mike Gesicki of Penn State. He's got a volleyball background. He was actually recruited first to Penn State as a volleyball player before the football team took a little notice of him and ended up offering him a scholarship. But at about 6'5 and a half, 250, he's a big, lean prospect, great leaping ability. And one of the things that the Gesicki said was I actually asked him if he had a goal of what he wanted to run in the 40 and then what he wanted to jump in the vertical. He wouldn't tell us because he said that he wants to see it, everybody see that number first, and then if he sets the expectations for a certain place, it's not going to be as impressive when he shows what he can do on the field. So definitely keep an eye on Gesicki's workout tomorrow when he takes the field with the rest of the offensive players. At the wide receiver position, switching gears here, there's a number of interesting players that talked to today. Probably none more interesting than Courtland Sutton. He's from rural Texas. He grew up with a very strong family situation. Parents were very much instilling the value of hard work and work ethic and education in him. And he also worked on a farm a lot as a kid. So if you're drawing some Jordy Nelson parallels here, that's understandable. He's also got relatively similar size to Nelson. Sutton measured in a little bit over 6'3" and 218 pounds. So that's very similar in size to what Jordy's measurements were. Maybe just a little bit taller, but right about the same weight. Will be interesting to see how he runs tomorrow, but again, he could be that kind of fast, big body receiver that the Packers don't really necessarily have that can really be a substantial deep threat down the field. Another pair of prospects that were really interesting were Marcel Aitman and James Washington, both of whom played at Oklahoma State together with quarterback Mason Rudolph. Washington is about 5'11" and 213 pounds. The build on Washington, ever you know, all since throughout this past season, every time I see Oklahoma State play, I would think of Ty Montgomery's build in James Washington. He's that similar, really, you know, thick body for a receiver, a little bit on the shorter side at 5'11", but physically the comparison kind of makes sense. But in terms of play style, they could not be different. Washington is really a deep threat, and he gets separation with, you know, very good quickness off the line, good route running skills, and he averaged almost 20 yards a catch for 3 seasons at Oklahoma State. Whereas Marcel Aitman, he's a much bigger possession receiver. He's 6'4 and a half, 216. He did a lot more of the underneath routes, the ins, the outs, whereas Washington was running the posts and the fly routes. So it was interesting to talk to those two, get their impressions of each of the other players and kind of how they play off each other. So all in all, a good day here in Indianapolis on the third day of the combine. Be sure to check out our Instagram feed for a bunch of the video clips that we got from a number of different receivers and tight ends throughout the day. We'll keep that going for tomorrow with the defensive linemen and the linebackers, and then we'll keep it going as well on Sunday afternoon for the defensive backs. Just a quick look ahead to tomorrow. As far as linebackers and edge players, there's going to be a lot of interesting players to talk to. We'll make sure to get some quotes from Marcus Davenport, Tremaine Edmonds, Roquan Smith, the Georgia linebacker, as well as probably Harold Landry from Boston College. A lot of those top-level outside linebacker prospects, as well as off-ball linebackers, we'll be sure to get. So check those out tomorrow when we will be live once again from Indianapolis, and keep it locked at Acme Packing Company. From Indianapolis, this is Tex Western signing off from the APC podcast, and go Pack Go.